Welcome to the latest episode of Easy with Frank Seatey. We've just been discussing UK garage and jungle scene. But we won't bore you with that and the 140 bus from Harrow. But we're going to talk about today how Richard is and how my training has been. We're also going to discuss the latest deep dive training talk, which is on building confidence for races. Building confidence for races. So that is quite a good time going into the summer season, track season, where coaches, athletes will be preparing. How do you get your athlete ready? What do athletes need to do? But we'll come on to that after we hear from Richard. How you doing, Richard? Welcome.
Thanks, Damien. I'm doing well, thank you. I managed to get some exercise in. So I guess from the last time we spoke, that's some progress. It's been a mixture of cycling and running. So the week before last, rather, I went for a bike ride before work. So I had some meetings that were later. So I did about 40 minutes on the bike. It's getting pretty hot already. So, I'm doing that about 7 o'clock. Maybe finishing no later than 8:30 if I do go out later. So yeah, about a 40-minute bike ride on the Tuesday. I ran with the group again. It was the first time in a while. On the Wednesday, did about 20 minutes, and then the Thursday I went out in the morning and did a bike ride again, which was a bit of a short turnaround time. I'm just not used to it, but still, it was good to just be out there. And cycling's pretty forgiving. So yeah, that was Thursday. Took Friday off. Saturday, I also took that off, and then I cycled again on the Sunday. So, but I cycled about an hour and 15 minutes in a couple of stints. So I cycled somewhere, had some food, chilled out for a bit, and then kind of spun back. So that was Sunday, and then took another couple of days off. I was really tired on the Monday, but I actually had a nap on the Sunday afternoon, and the temperature was one thing, the exertion was another. I realized that even on a bike, I'm going through a bottle of water every 40 minutes, 30 minutes.
Wow. I napped today, so yeah, rock on.
Brilliant. It's such a nice thing. So yeah, that was Sunday. Monday off, Tuesday off as well. Wednesday I went for a run again, but rather than doing a 20, or well, rather than doing a And the group was doing nearly 4 miles. I ended up doing 5:43:21, and I cycled through, did a 5 and another 4 off a minute. So
Okay.
I was running. I was trying to make sure my running was actual running, and I was pretty happy with that. And then on the Thursday, I just did a short, pretty intense bike ride.
Okay.
So really not more than like 15 minutes, but I was absolutely eyeballs, and my quads were killing me. It was, yeah, but it was really good. And then, yeah, it's now Saturday as we speak. So after this, I'm gonna get on the bike again and just, move around. So it's, I'm making a bit more progress. I'm not feeling sore or anything. I'm not looking after my body though, so I'm not doing the foam roll
Okay.
yet. So that's gonna bite me in the backside if I'm not careful. But at the same time, I'm just happy to be out exercising about every other day on average. So that's me.
That's it. And the cycling you're doing, is that quite, how do you describe the intensity of that?
Oh, I mean, so I actually have my heart rate monitor on. Well, I have my watch on, which these
Yeah.
days is a heart rate monitor. It's somewhere in the 130s, maxes
Okay.
out,
Yeah.
170, 160, because there's some
Okay.
hills.
Yeah. So it's getting it up, and it's not too, yeah, it's a decent range, aerobic range,
Yeah,
pretty
it's
much. Yeah.
decent range. And like with all exercise out here this time of year, as soon as it starts rising above 130, because of the heat, it doesn't go. I mean, I'm not fit enough to recover that way, and it just, if you look at the heart rate trace on my runs over the whole time I've lived in the US, there's always been this drift up, no matter
Yeah,
how
once
fit
it
I'm
gets
in.
warm. Yeah, cool. Okay, well, so glad to hear that you've managed to put the yeah got back some routine and finding the running and cycling is getting you fit again, hopefully. And yeah, it's good that you've got yeah the foam rolling, so you've got to keep on top of that. Right, so
How about
my
you?
training, yeah. Okay, I'm actually gonna for once, rather than give you a general summary, four listeners, hopefully not four listeners, but go through my actual what I've done from a day to day. So booked on a Sunday, I believe, if I remember. Yeah. And Monday actually took off. It's just a hard day to get any training in. Tuesday morning, I did intervals on the ski erg. So it's probably, yeah, a machine similar to the skiing, cross-country skiing. And that was pretty hard intervals where my heart rate's up plus 150, and that's quite high on a station, you know, on a ski erg. I'm not using, it's mainly quite a lot, mainly the waist up and the legs a little bit. Wednesday I took off, I'm not sure why. Then we actually had Thursday and Friday off, so it was public holiday on Thursday, so Friday was given off as a holiday at school. So I decided to join up with a local cycling club on Thursday. And I said, they have a Facebook group, and I saw someone had mentioned, yeah, does anyone want to ride about 32K an hour? So I sent a message to this guy and said, my fitness is okay, but I'm not sure 32, I could probably, you know, 28K would probably be okay. And he said, yeah, just hang with us, it'll be fine. I can only describe it as the hardest training ride I've ever done in my life. It was 3 hours and I was absolutely hammering it for most of it. But the first half an hour was okay. Yeah, it was my heart rate, my average for the 3 hours, 3 hours 20 was 150 on a bike. So it gives you an idea.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I was absolutely bleat afterwards. We did, we stopped after that 1 minute, 1 hour 15, and I thought we'd done halfway. But we hadn't even done halfway, so it was another hour 45 back to where we started. But they had good bikes. They're all cyclists. They've either raced or done some long training rides. So this was a massive shock to me. But same time, I think a couple of times I wanted to just stop, but I thought, you know what, I don't know where I am. For one, number two, it's going to be a great training stimulus. So they were quite nice. They did wait a bit for me, but I would lose them on the flats and the downhills. Uphills, I was fine. Downhills, I just lose them. Most of them are all heavier than me, and I'm just not very good at drafting and taking corners as well. They're just a bit better, so I used to I just lose them and have to catch up. And yeah, so that was that was tough, but it was good fun. Good fun. I've had months of thinking why we're doing this. Friday, I did a ski erg again, and the fucking sort of a cross trainer with a bit more of a hip extension. Then I cycle in the evening. That was more gentle cycling. Saturday, I met up with a group again. That was a long ride, a bit more sedate, but a group of 16, so a lot of kind of working in a group. And then Sunday was a mix of the ski erg and cross training again. And I did some strength and conditioning on both weekend days as well. So that was the week before. This week has been Monday was a light cycle. I mean, I must say that I'm still doing sort of commuting cycling these days when I say I'm off, but it's not. It's 10, 15 minutes. I don't really count it as training. 80 minutes on Tuesday. That was with a guy that lives in my block of flats. That was kind of easy to steady. Wednesday, strength and conditioning in the morning. I didn't get. We had a long day at school, so I didn't get out. Thursday, actually went to watch some 10K races, which was great fun, handing out water. So I cycled there and back, and that was like 40 minutes, 30 minutes. So it was quite relaxed. Yesterday, got up and I did 60 minutes on the cross trainer, so 55 minutes actually, and then some strength and conditioning in the afternoon. And then today was the day. It was actually exactly 6 weeks since I had decided to take a 6 week break. I did intervals on the ski erg again, so by 4 minutes, just hard off 30, 45 seconds. I took pretty much my heart rate went to 140 plus, up to past 150 gradually in the last few. I just wait for it to come down to like 110 and then I go again. So we got 30 seconds. So boom, go again. And then I did 5 minutes on the treadmill. Yeah. 5 minutes on the treadmill afterwards, and it felt good. It was very slow, probably. God, what he's talking about, 8.5 minute mileage, just pretty easy jogging, just to test it. Seems okay. See how it is tomorrow.
Wow, that's progress.
Yeah, that is my training for the last 2 weeks. So, yeah, not as much as I'd like to get done, but I tend to focus, as I said the last episode, just focusing on a bit more quality when I can, rather than just spending hours, the heart rate pretty low, just doing some, yeah, reasonably high intensity, or at least steady, more steady stuff.
So what's the plan to try to get the running back? Because, I mean, it's a big day today.
Yeah. Oh, I must say, also, I do have a date for the ultrasound. It's the 9th of June. So this is... It's made me think, look, I may as well just, yeah, it's good, I'll just start running, and if there is an issue, they'll be able to spot it. So I'm not sure what to do. I'm thinking maybe every other day, first week, just to build up to 10 minutes or 2x5 with a walk on Tuesday, Thursday, maybe 3x5, just build up to half. And I don't want to rush it, because... I'm also thinking about doing some light drills as well, just to develop the, some very gentle plyometrics. Because the issue I did have a lot of the time was when it got past sort of the 10-day to 12-day period, I was having problems hopping. So that tends to, that's a good test as well. But it was also just develop the power and the strength in the lower limbs and Achilles and connective tissue. So, yeah, I think the first week is just get out, 5 minutes, 1 minute walk, something like that, do that, repeat, get up to 30 minutes, hopefully by the end of next week, maybe 2 years. But I'll see how it goes. If there's a reaction, then I'll have to hold and vice versa. So, hopefully by the 9th of June, I'm hoping there's nothing there. It doesn't feel like there is, but it's hard to know that. It depends on coming after 2 weeks, so we will see. Cool. Okay, so that was my longest recap. We're going to go on to the deep dive training talk, which is building confidence in races. Richard, do you want to start?
Yeah, I do want to start.
Let's see.
As I thought about this, my opinion, well, not opinion, where I took it changed. So I asked myself the following question. Was I ever confident going into races? Because I think for a lot of times I wasn't, right? So many of the times it was not really about building confidence for the race, say, in the short term. It was about managing nerves. And I think one of the ways to, so I'm not quite talking about confidence per se right now, but the managing of nerves, I think, came from having a well-defined plan for a race, having alternative kind of plans. Maybe it's as simple as in the first mile, I'm going to do this. If it's like a big race, say like inter-counties or, whatever big track race you might come, the first lap, you have a very well-defined plan that is informed by the training you've done. But obviously, that actually it could change. But having that to start with and really addressing that, not just like 5 minutes before the race either, like even so far as weeks before, because you know what training you can do. And that was always about also knowing strengths and weaknesses of yourself and others around you. But that's what I took my head, because I think the confidence piece as a coach comes out of what he's trying to build it is to see the same thing in athletes, where their strengths are, weaknesses are as athletes, at least in the short term, and trying to actually specifically design training over a long period to sort of bring them to a place where they realize, oh, actually, yeah, I might not be able to run a 25-second 200. I might not even be able to run a 29-second 200, but I could run a 31-second 200 at the end of every single race I do. And actually, that's entirely good enough in a competition you're going to be in. So, yeah, I had lots of thoughts, but that's where I'm starting, just that the idea of the having good plans, having well-defined structures in place and training beforehand, so that really it's not even about confidence on the day. It's about managing nerves because you know what you're going to try and do anyway. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, you touched upon some really good points there, and the planning and the preparation and is the key part. If I always found it got better as I got older, but there's always still an element of nerves. But the confidence of having done training, having gone through a period of training, maybe uninjured, or there comes a point where we can be time obsessed. And it, as much as you can say run to feel, run to feel, there does most athletes need to have some, numerical. They need to know that they can run X, whatever. They've done some session or some market session or something that gives them confidence. It could be a race. And I think definitely when you're younger, it was a lot about what you can run per lap. And that was driven by a coach. So I think it's you should get to the start line being realistic with what you can attain. I think when people are nervous, it's either two things: that they don't feel prepared, or they have unrealistic expectations. But I also think that there's a, I think maybe as you get older and a bit more mature, there's the element of perspective is that if this race, and most of the time, and we're talking about maybe it depends on the standard of the athlete you are, but most races, if you don't, there's no race that if you don't reach a certain position, that your livelihood is on the line. So there's an element of where does this race fit in with my life? How important is it to me? And for some, it's more than others. I remember your good friend, Glenn Wright-Colopi. Is that right? Is that a good
name? Yeah, Glenn Wright-Colopi, yeah.
Glenn Colopi, yeah, who's now in Germany. And he used to say...
No, he married a German. He now lives in North Carolina again.
Does he? Okay, right. But he was in Germany, no? Was he not?
He got married in Germany.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yeah, anyway, so he's there for a full second. I was right, sort of. Anyway, but he did say, and I remember him saying he was a very, very, very capable athlete, and you know, with a balance in his work and his personal life, he commit to coming to club races. But I think he said to me once, he said, "The issue I have is that there's too many people I'm racing against who just care more about doing well than me." And that's the really good point, is that you get to start line and you have 12, 15, whatever it is in your race. And how many of them really want to do well? How many of them are not bothered they do well? But please,
I tell you, you've stimulated a memory, thought, what have you. A coach, an athlete I knew, was friends with, Kyle. He said to me, one of the key sort of stepping stones to being really good or doing your best was to realize that nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares if you knock out a 60 first lap or a 75 first lap in a 1500 or whatever it may be, you know, wherever your standard is. No one cares if you finish the last lap, you know, and the wheels come off. Or if you run the best race you ever run in your life, no one cares. Like, that's not necessarily true, but that perspective sets you free to just race the race.
So
I think that came up when you mentioned that. One of the other things I was thinking about, you know, training, building up, is I remember coming across another athlete who I used to race against. He was on my team at university. He told me that what he used to do before races was he would go back through his training diary and look at all the really good sessions and just reread his notes and just jump to every single one that was really good and just remind himself that he's done some good training. And, you know, I've seen a lot of coaching diary or training diaries rather with a coach, and there's a wide range of what people write about and how much they write and how often they record it even. And I've seen some people who write essays, you know. So, you know, there's that, which is like reflecting in some way, you know, even in the short term. But the other one I remember seeing when it came to confidence, like more generally as an athlete outside of races, like not it, as an athlete, but not specifically for races. So I had a conversation with one athlete where they came to me and they said, Richard, I I'm just not doing enough training. It's not working. I'm not fit enough. I'm not going to run well. And I was like, well, I thought to myself, you're doing a lot of good work. You're tired. It's amazing what fatigue, what carrying fatigue does to
Yeah.
people. But anyway, so long story short, we sat down and I said, well, listen, just write down what you think is enough work to do and what you want to do. Forget what we've decided and what we've talked about. That's just, we worked together for long enough for you to know the principles that at least I think is important. What do you think is important? And then they wrote down this training, and I was just asking questions, and they basically just wrote down what we'd already written down. So the confidence piece there was, I think, having some degree of ownership and sort of different levels of input, and just to work through something. Because what I think sometimes happens is you go through long periods of training and you get very tired. And if you're on the wrong side of that, you can have some pretty bad sessions or races, especially if you're not so experienced, where you doubt everything. But then the kicker then is having somebody to sort of give yourself perspective. If you're not Glenn and have the perspective already after how many years of training, how do you get to that point? And if a lot of us have people around you, but the other piece is, and this is what I saw really have an impact, paper properly when it matters. Because you can kick your own head in after all this work
We
and basically.
could go down a rabbit hole with tapering, but we'll come to that in the future.
Well, but
But
yeah, we
you're right.
could. But in terms of the confidence piece, it's the whole, you're not
Being
playing
ready.
catch up. You're not playing catch up in that last week or so. But if your confidence is low, it's very easy to try and pretend, or not pretend, try and actually do that. So, yeah.
Yeah,
So that's.
that's a good point. I think there is an obsession, even more so with Power10 and the digitalization of everything in the world, that young athletes, all athletes, are obsessed with times, especially if you run on the track or the road. And it's an obsession with times, which, of course, they are important if you're looking at qualification standards. But as you said, that you have races where you come to where there's been external circumstances in your life, there's the weather, there's the race, standards of the race. You can't control those things, but what you can control is how you perform, and how you start the race. Do you work to your strengths? Did you give up at a certain point? Did you think you ran the best race you could? And that it comes with maturity. But young athletes, I think, are, and a lot of coaches I've seen, they're still very obsessed with times and running a certain time rather than can you go out and execute the race plan? And that is that we work on, and as much as like we talk about running to feel, is you should know what 1500 effort feels like, or 3K effort. Don't go out and run faster than that on the first lap, or try and finish strongly unless there's executing a race plan. But I think also in training is coaches challenging athletes as well with how they put how you create a training plan. So having training sessions where you may surprise an athlete. Now trying to add an extra rep on a session sometimes, which I've done, and it's an element of surprise, but it can be a way of giving confidence to the athlete. But yes.
I was going to say, when it comes to the coaching of athletes to have them build confidence, I think as a coach, I was always comfortable seeing an entire season or an entire year. And, an athlete in the trenches really is just trying to do the next session and then manage whatever else is going on in their life. But you could see, I would look at it in terms of this whole sequence of training is months. And in that, I might know that an athlete's tempo work is just completely lacking. So there's one way of just saying, okay, let's do tempo runs, right? But for somebody who has never really done tempo runs, that's daunting. And for somebody who probably puts more weight than it needs to on how fast tempo runs should be, all these things, it could just be something that's executed poorly if you just put it in as a traditional tempo run versus, we're going to do a session where you do 10 minutes hard. Like how you convey the message, how you put the work in a session. And for example, one thing I always like to do as a coach, when people would say, "Oh, I'm doing a tempo run," but actually they're running like 5 minute pace, and they're not, that's not tempo, is, you do a tempo or you do something 10 minutes worth, you do the rest of the session of repetitions, and then when they're tired, you do another tempo bit or section, and it's 20 seconds a mile slower. And actually, that's the data. The data is your tempo pace, as we all know, as we all know, it's probably somewhere in this range. And then there's the conversation about discipline. Discipline to execute training sessions. And then you realize that actually, yeah, you don't have to train this hard to make sure that you can progress. And then the last piece about the confidence is, after 3 months of this, like with my friend who would look back at training, they get to look back at things that were never in a training session plan or were never in a training cycle persistently. And it's literally information that is now there that says, yes, I can do this. And that comes down to also fine-tuning sessions to really, as best you can as a coach, recreate specific aspects of a race. Cross-country, it was easy for me. I was
I
going to
think
say,
that the point about tapering as well is that you those the coach as well, where possible, can just be at some that would have a real handle on the taper, but also there'll be some sessions where there would be a build up, and the build up and the follow up would be would there be sufficient recovery going in and out. So you give the athlete a representation of, look, this is what you can do when you're fresh and when you are ready to race, but rather than this and try to, the rest is noise. Get the sessions done, get them finished, and be fit. And as many masters actually say, is getting to the start line is half the battle. Just get the athlete there. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Richard? I don't know if we've
Loads. I'm going off on a series of rabbit holes, mate. But no, I think I've covered the key points. I really think that it's a long process to build confidence, not just on the day. And the beautiful thing about running is there's a lot of information you can use in training to say with hard evidence, like, this is
This is And I think I do just as well to finish, but the athletes say, well, I wanna, I think I should be training at this pace or training at that pace. Well, prove it in a race, then we can do it. So it's kind of, it's got to be realistic. It's not, don't kid yourself. I want to run 14:30, so I'm going to start.
Yeah, and one thing I will say, because I don't think I really clarified this, is it's confidence in what? And in my head, I think it's confidence in being able to give a good account of yourself. It's not about, oh, confidence, I'm going to win the race, because you usually think that that's what you can do if you go that. But it's just the confidence to say, in those difficult moments that you're always going to face, am I going to be able to do it this time as best I
Can
can?
I execute? Can I run to the best of my ability today? That's ultimately what it is. Thanks, Richard. We've I think we could have gone left and right and turned around and come back. And tapering is that's a wonderful, wonderful topic, which we will cover in the future. That's a beautiful topic because there's many, many clowns out there who haven't got a clue, have not got a clue. But we'll come on to that. Okay, thanks, Richard. We'll chat again. And let's it'll be interesting to see how we both progress in the next couple of weeks. And have a good one. Great, great
Thank you very
talking.
much.
Cheers.